cuts over the corner. Whipped in at pace, throws that back post, re-enter, and it's Mats Hummels to double Borussia Dortmund's advantage in this semi-final. One step towards Wembley.
A crucial breakthrough in this game. And it is in the hands of Mats Hummels, who rises magnificently at that back post. But look at the service, people. Look at the assist, Brandt.
And there is the full-time whistle. Borussia Dortmund are into the Champions League final for the first time in 11 years.
Yeah, it feels almost like a betrayal in the end because of that decision. And it was a huge fight. We left everything on the pitch. We were almost there. Now we have to say congratulations to Real Madrid.
Have you spoken to anyone about that? Have you had any explanation?
The linesman said sorry. That does not help on that kind of level. To raise the flag in a decision like this, in a close decision in the last minute, and the referee as well. The referee does not have to whistle. He sees that we win the second ball. He sees that we get a shot away. To whistle is a very, very bad decision, and it's against the rules, and it's a bad decision from both of them. It's a disaster, but okay. Tough to swallow, but it's the way it is.
Roma have been opened up, and that's finished it off. Finished in some style as well. Josip Stanisic, the substitute, the fullback who's on loan from Bayern Munich, whose own European ambitions were ended. Tar with the initial interception. And Roma running on empty. But not Josip Stanisic. It's a super finish from the right back. Came on as a substitute at the end of 90 minutes and 7 minutes into stoppage time. He's made it 2-2. Well, surely now it's just a question of blowing the final whistle. And that is it. What a season it has been for Leverkusen.
Well, the content's been flowing this week from the basement here with myself and Nick. It has been a jam-packed week. This has been one of the most exciting weeks in club football in recent times because of the outcomes of the matches. Some things didn't happen the way they were supposed to go. Other things happened exactly as planned, and we'll talk about it. There's conspiracy theories we're going to talk about, goals happening at odd times when you just know that that's not how football is played, but yet, and it's not a matter of happening once in a blue moon. It's like happening time and time and time again, and with Real Madrid, it doesn't happen time and time again in a season. It happens time and time again since like the 1950s. So we're going to talk about all that. This has been, it's been an enjoyable week. I have absolutely enjoyed the Champions League this week. Those were two very exciting games. The outcome I got on day one, I am still head over heels in euphoria with the Borussia Dortmund outcome. We'll talk about that in detail. Nick and I both did a ton of videos this week. So check that out on Instagram at Beckham Basement. And we recapped all the games. No, we also previewed a bunch of them. Nick gave his 2 cents in on the Leverkusen match as well yesterday, which was a really great, insightful piece of video there. So, yeah, we've given you the content this week. It's been nothing short of – and it's funny. It's only been a handful of matches. It's not like this has been like match day three where every league is in play, no international breaks yet. Everybody's still excited about their summer transfers and all this stuff. Now, this is – we're at the end of the season, and you just expect for it just to be kind of business as usual. And we had the upset of all upsets in the Champions League on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, just a complete, I don't even know what word to use for it, how to describe it. Bayern Munich beat Real Madrid. It was done. It was done. Yeah. And then they didn't. And we'll get to that in detail. Nick and I watched both games start to finish. So we have a lot of insight we can give. This is going to be a Champions League and Europa League focus episode. It's just how it is. And we're going to talk about some conspiracy theories at the end too, because it's just, you know, you can look on, if you guys, girls, listeners, look on YouTube, if you look on the internet long enough, you'll find a lot of content creators that support this theory that football's not what it used to be. And it's, and that the rich get richer, the poor get poor, the separation between the second and third tier grow ever more, a wider gap between the first tier, whether that's the Bundesliga, whether it's the, it's certainly the Premier League. The Premier League is the prime example where there is just a massive gap between the first tier and the second tier, the level of play in the Championship versus the level of play in the Premier League. And then you have, of course, Serie A, which some Serie B teams can't even pay their damn rent. I mean, the Italian football below Serie A is in peril. I mean, you could see any club at any given time just go into insolvency. The ones that are safe, you know, you've got your Rome teams, your Milan teams, obviously Turin with Torino and Juve. They're safe. Napoli's safe, but it's just amazing. It's just money has taken a sport that is just beautiful in its pure form. And we now find ourselves, and Nick sent me last night, the Luis Diaz VAR call from the Tottenham game earlier this year. And it's like, it's onside, but well, fuck it. Take it. I mean, who cares? Yeah. And that one loss could be the loss that cost Liverpool the title. They would have been undefeated going into Christmas or whenever coming out of it. I mean, they didn't lose their second match until just a few weeks ago. So just these decisions, now you hear every single anti-Arsenal supporter saying that Arsenal, you can't spell VAR without Arsenal, AR at the front, because they get every call. And look, they used to call Liverpool Livarpool back when we won the title. That's a joke, man. I can't remember hardly any calls going for us the last 4 or 5 years. If it's for Liverpool especially, if it's questionable, it's going to go against us. Like they're like, we're not giving these cats anything. Now, if it's Real Madrid, you could have an Uzi or an AK-47 and literally shoot the other player on the pitch dead, and they would not even give you a yellow card.
Nope.
Same exact opposite scenario, as opposite as you can get. But all right, well, let's get into it, Nick. How has your week been, first and foremost? What have you...
Yeah, man. Yeah, just watching the game, seeing a bunch of foolishness, man. I mean, the Champions League was just insane. I mean, the first match, you know, not too crazy. I mean, that was just, you know, we called it the Battle of the Bottlers, and we knew one had no choice. We talked about it last show. We had one had no choice but to advance, and it was blood money went down, and the good guys won, so that was a plus. And now after that, we got to see the absolute capitulation of many things in the Madrid match, which I know we'll talk about. But yeah, man, it's been a great week. Absolutely enjoying it. I know you have too.
Yes,
a lot going on. We've been meeting some new people, chatting about the show, and everything's been moving along smoothly, man. We're gearing up for the end of this season, and we're also looking forward to what we have this summer in the Manchester United Liverpool match. We're going to go see Euros and Copa America. We were even chatting international last night. So we're me and you, man, we're gearing up for some great stuff here coming up in the future. But my week has been good, man. It's been great.
I pointed out after the video, and we'll get to it, the video that I posted after the Dortmund match, I pointed to Mbappe choker, Luis Enrique choker, tears and hugs for Donnarumma choker, and it goes to Marquinhos choker, it goes to Vitinho choker. And I'm going to say this, the reason I give that to them is because if anyone was watching on Paramount Plus, the commentary was so anti-BVB and so pro-PSG, it made me want to vomit. Vitinho shoots the ball 35 meters from outside, from the goal, from outside the box. It goes right to Koble. But my God, what power. Well, it's like Happy Gilmore. Yeah, he's got a slap shot, but he overshoots the goal by 15 feet.
Yeah, and he can't putt.
No, he can't putt either, no. But then Mbappe crosses two cats over, cool, shoots the ball, hits the side of the net corner. Goal kick. Oh, but what a miss. What a miss. The greatest miss of all misses.
Yeah.
Mbappe is just, he's just so good. Well, I don't know about being good because I didn't see him on the score sheet. Did you?
No.
So choker. I said, choker, let's play poker. Yeah. Mbappe's a choker. I will always call him a choker at the club level. He is a joke. He is a smokescreen. He is, I think individually, he's one of those guys, as I told you, like Allen Iverson, that individually on the playground will embarrass you one-on-one. Mbappe is a talented guy. Let's not get that twisted. He has moves that'll twist you like a pretzel. But there's the difference between the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, and the Bill Russells of the world. Yes, Bill Russell, 11 NBA titles. Let's not forget that. There's a difference between the CR7s and the Messis of the world who have won numerous Champions Leagues. And then there's Kylian Mbappe, who has won absolutely nothing at the club level. Nothing. And he has had, Nick, more than enough opportunity. He's been to a Champions League final. He lost. He's been to a Champions League semifinal now where they were the overwhelming favorites. Did not even score a single goal over two legs. Not one. Not one. Borussia Dortmund shut them out, and I'm about to get to them in a minute. PSG has got to go down as one of the all-time biggest fails in club football history. A team that CBS, the commentators, admitted does not care about the French league. They said when the game was over, Mbappe leaves here trophyless. He's won like six league titles at PSG.
Yeah.
That's how little it means. They don't even count that.
Yeah.
He was bought from Monaco for one reason and one reason only, to win a Champions League. They said the Qataris do not care about anything other than the Champions League. He's had Messi. He's had Neymar.
Yeah.
How much more help does this man need? He's got Marquinhos. He's got Donnarumma in goal, who's supposed to be this 6'11" giant from AC Milan they got to stop the goal leakage. He's got Vitinho, this superstar. I mean, it just goes on and on. The help he's gotten and the players he's played with, and they come up empty yet again. And so I say to you, you look at the stats from this match, Nick, 30 shots for PSG, 30. Borussia Dortmund had 7. In all the shots that Paris took, 30 shots, only 5 were on target. Dortmund had 3 on target out of 7. Their on-target percentage was almost 50% for Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
PSG was 1/6. That's like, what, 16.6%? I mean, that is atrocious.
Yeah.
No, they had 70% possession, 89% pass accuracy. They had 12 corners to Dortmund's 4. But yet, off of a corner, what does Dortmund do? One of their 4 chances. Mats Hummels, the ageless wonder. He runs a 5'8", 40-yard dash. He's slower than a snail in sludge.
Yeah.
But
he's clutch,
man. 2014 World Cup, what does he do? He gets a clutch header. Germany gets a goal.
Yeah.
When they need him most, the true captain of Borussia Dortmund, the guy that's on the pitch, and I say Marco Reus is, but he was on the bench at the time. The captain on the actual pitch is Mats Hummels, BVB through and through, back in the Klopp era. He scores the goal that Dortmund needed to absolutely get through. And then they said, the commentators, the hurricane is coming, Nick. The hurricane's coming. The storm is coming. Here comes PSG. It's going to get very, very stormy in here. Borussia Dortmund's defending the back line, the midfield, keeping their shape. Matson, Schlotterbeck. By the way, Schlotterbeck, unreal, this kid. He is a star in the making at the center back position. I'm so impressed with him. His play, he has grown before our very eyes this season. Then you have Ryerson, Sabitzer, Chan, Emre Chan, who wears the armband. It's amazing what Dortmund are when he's out there. He's not the most technically gifted player. He's not the most skilled player in any way, but he's a leader. And he studied also under the school of Klopp at Liverpool. So, you know, he knows how to, let's say, talk to his teammates, inspire them or whatnot. And you looked at the little things, Nick, it's the little things in the game, like Niklas Füllkrug with the hold-up play. He puts his body, his back to the goal. He's able to almost sort of set screens for his teammates in the box, that teammate being Jadon Sancho on the right wing. And you saw a lot of opportunities that came from that. He's, again, not the most technically sound player, not the most technically gifted player, but he's big, he's large, he uses what he has to his advantage to help his team out. I thought, X's and O's wise, this was a 10 out of 10 perfectly executed game by Borussia Dortmund. They get an A++++ from me. They did everything they had to do, being overmatched talent-wise, to beat these giants. And yet again, blood, oil, money from PSG. They go down in flames, and it couldn't happen against a better team than Borussia Dortmund, who are still, to this day, a real, true club. I'm so happy with them, so proud of them. And yeah, I'm going to turn it over to you, what your thoughts were on this game, because I thought Dortmund was just absolutely 10 out of 10 perfection.
Yeah, no, they did good. They did what they're supposed to. I mean, Paris, they just were terrible, man. You read the stats. I mean, after watching it and seeing it, I mean, it was pretty clear and obvious that they weren't going to score. I mean, it was still, the odds on them to not score were, to actually score were crazy up until like the 80th minute. And I said to myself at halftime, they're not going to score, dude. They're just not. They were hitting post and side netting, and BVB was defending so well. There was just no way, man. I really believe that. And I said it, I, you know, I back it. I back stuff a lot, and it paid off, man. They post this, bar that. They just couldn't, it just, I mean, there's post and there's bars for a reason, because you have to get it inside of them. I mean, just because you hit the bar post, all it means is that you were still off. You were just really close. And sadly, you don't get like a 0.25 for each post you hit. If that was the case, it would have been 1-1, because they hit the bar and post four times. But guess what? That's not how this goes. You don't get a quarter of a goal for each post you hit. You get zero. So it was pretty obvious what was going on, man. They, you know, they're a cursed team when it comes to this competition, and they're going to have to retry a different way. They're going to have to absolutely flip this club around, and try with another, you know, $100-200 million player. Mbappe will go about his way. And you know, someone said on Twitter, you know, regardless that Mbappe didn't win this Champions League trophy, he's still the greatest player in the world. And you know, people debate that. And
well, Nick, let's hate to interrupt you. Sorry. Let's stop right there. I'm glad you brought that point up, because you and I talked about this in great depth. We talked about this on the phone the other day. If Michael Jordan does not win any titles, if Kobe Bryant does not win any titles, and I'll throw the man in himself, if Bill Russell does not win any titles, you don't talk about them in the same light. Jordan does not have his own brand. Jordan is not part of Nike. He's under Nike, under the Jordan brand. He is, and as I told you, he makes kits for PSG. Jordan brand makes kits for a football club. He's that big. He transcends his own sport. If he doesn't win 6 rings out of 6, with the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan is just another Allen Iverson. And like I said, I respect Allen Iverson. I have, 5 of his jerseys? I love him. Bubba Chuck, I love him. He's one of the greatest individual players to ever play the game of basketball. But, bro, if you don't win that O'Brien trophy, you don't get remembered in the same light. You just don't. Kylian Mbappe is not the best player on the planet at all, not even close. If he wants to go on a pickup street soccer court in Paris and school some fools, that's fine. But this is a team game and he's the star of the team. Put the team on your back. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, those guys, Dwayne Wade, I'll throw another one in there, Hakeem Olajuwon, they put the team on their back and they won championships. That's how it's done. And that's why you say, oh, one of the greatest centers of all time is Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon. There's a debate, right? Well, they've got six rings between them. Yeah, there is a debate. Kobe and Michael, they've got 11 rings between them. There is a debate. Allen Iverson and Kobe and Michael, they don't put Allen Iverson in that conversation. He doesn't have a championship.
No.
You just don't.
And I mean,
you don't. And so Mbappe, until he does at the club level, what Messi and CR7 and I mean, there's countless ones. I mean, who all do you want to put in there? You could take Man City from last season. Phil Foden, Erling Haaland, those guys, they've got a Champions League. They've got one. It's Mohamed Salah has got a Champions League.
Yeah. I mean, that's the argument, man. I mean, and some pretty big people, you know, say he's still the greatest or the best right now. And I mean, I get, you know, talent wise, the guy has the talent, but he doesn't have the club level.
No one's disputing that. No one, there is absolutely no argument for me that he doesn't have talent.
Yeah.
He is one of the most talented, but man, this game comes down, as they say, like in the NBA, I love this saying, the NBA is a league of makes and misses. Well, how is that any different in football when you see what they did in the second half against Dortmund, where it was crossbar, crossbar, post, post? As you said, a miss is a miss is a miss is a miss, dude. Yep. I've never seen anyone hit the crossbar or the post and get awarded a goal for it.
Yeah.
It's still a goose egg. It's still a miss. That's as big a miss as if you kicked it 10 meters wide right.
Yeah, I agree. You might as well sky it. There ain't no point.
So I want you to keep going, but I wanted to briefly talk about that because at the end of the day, you are measured on championships. That's what you're measuring. Everyone knows that. If Elway doesn't win two Super Bowls, we don't even talk about him. As it is, he had the greatest end to any NFL career in the history of the sport. He walked off his NFL career with back-to-back Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
Even Tom Brady, who won 7, did not have a career that ended as gloriously. John Elway has the best ending to any career in the history of any sport.
I agree.
Unless Michael Jordan had stopped with title number 6 in Chicago, but he came back with the Wizards. So now I have to put an asterisk. If you stop in Chicago with Michael, then it's him. Yeah. But after that, it's John Elway. John Elway, hands down. Hands down, John Elway.
I mean, there's a reason we don't talk about Dan Marino.
Yes, thank you. Exclamation point, underline. Yes.
There you go.
Yes. I mean, best example. Best example. Yes.
Yep. Is Dan Marino, dude. I mean, what a hell of a fucking – if he would have won a Super Bowl, he could be in a top 5, top 8 ever quarterbacks on the face of this earth.
It's the same reason, Nick, that we do talk about Brett Favre and Drew Brees and Steve Young because they got that one. They got that one.
Yeah.
And now Drew Brees is like, well, he wasn't just the guy who broke records. He won a Super Bowl.
Yep, sure did.
So that puts you – it elevates you. It puts you in a different category.
Yeah,
he has not won, and I saw a video last night, which is really great. They don't judge league titles compared to the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy gets compared to the Champions League Trophy. The way that they see like what is equivalent in each sport to the grandest prize. I thought that was an interesting take, and I agree with that. Winning a Champions League is like winning a Super Bowl because it's a tournament format. It's the best against the best. There's no Darmstadts. There's no Clermont Foots. There's no Almerias. There's nothing like that. It's the best of the best. Well, you're judged on who were you when you played equal or greater talent. And so far, Mbappe is 0 for 7, 0 for life. He's 0 for life on Champions League.
Yeah.
This was the easiest matchup he's ever had this deep into a Champions League. And Nick, I say this. They couldn't score a goal in 180 minutes.
No. Nope.
Not a single goal.
Not one. Yeah.
No. But go ahead. Keep going with your assessment of PSG.
Yeah, we only got two goals in both legs. Yeah, I brought that up because
yeah, who scored those again?
Was that BBB? Yeah, BBB, yeah, they didn't even that. Hell, Paris didn't even sniff the net. They sniffed it.
Yeah. In the second, like they sniffed it. They were like a hound dog sniffing it. But hey, if the hound dog comes back with nothing in his mouth, then he ain't really got anything.
Nope. Absolutely. And that's why I brought that up. I knew
your Dan Marino example is perfect. He is Dan Marino right now of European football.
Yep. Yeah, great. And then no one will ever speak of him. So
no one will ever say that Dan Marino was a bad quarterback. That is absurd. No,
not at all. But
one of the most talented arms to ever play at college NFL level ever. And Mbappe is exactly that in football. He is beyond talented, but he can't win the big prize. He cannot win the big one.
Dan, handsome guy too, man. What a great spokesman. Just did great commercials, everything. But it was
great commercials.
He had the gloves.
I mean, you can remember for his commercials, that's for sure.
Yeah, he had the gloves. I think he did the gloves.
Isotoner. Oh my god!
Great commercial, man. Yeah,
and great in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
Absolutely, that was one of the best supporting roles. Yeah. Yeah, Dan did a good job.
Yeah, Jim Carrey and Dan Marino in the same movie. Who would have thought? Yeah,
just couldn't win that big one. So, yeah, Mbappe has a long career ahead of him, of course. You know, if he is signing for Real Madrid, which is what it looks like, he'll have plenty. I mean, Real Madrid, hell, they own that competition since I've been watching football. I mean, I've watched him beat Liverpool. I've watched him beat Juventus. I've watched him beat just win, always winning it. It's getting old. I mean, we've talked about that, but the PSG match it basically came down to misses. BVB stayed too tight. They had a game plan and it was score on a set piece or a counterattack. No one was marking Matt Hummels and they paid for it. I mean, when you watch that goal, I think there was three guys around him within 2 or 3 feet, but they weren't paying any attention to him. As soon as they kicked it up, you got guys backing up trying to head it, and Hummels is just so tall, dude. You're not getting that ball over Matt Hummels, especially in what a match it was. I mean, second leg, he's going to connect. He's played in the biggest matches ever. You said it, World Cup. I mean, final, all this and that. I mean, that you're not going to win that. So he scores the goal, and then, you know, it's just an onslaught. I mean,
He's won trophies with Dortmund. He's won trophies with Bayern. He's won trophies with Germany.
He knows. So
he knows. He is a veteran.
So it just, man, watching it, you just knew, man. It's funny because if I didn't have my eyes on the game, my buddy Drew texted me and he's like, do we take PSG? And he says we just because I try to help him make some picks and stuff. And then I'm like, stay away. I'm like, do not do it. I'm watching myself. And he's like, well, what about the metrics? They look like they're, and I'm like, bro, don't touch it. Like, if you do anything, just go ahead and take Borussia Dortmund, dude. I said, you're going to get better odds. And thank God. It's funny. He told me later, he's like, man, you saved me from losing money. And I'm like, bro, I was watching it with my own eyes, dude. They weren't going to score, man. And it just was meant to be. And, you know, it's funny. Someone asked Mbappe after the match. I know this reporter was trolling him. He said, who are you going to support, Real Madrid or Bayern Munich? Mbappe looked at him and rolled his eyes and walked off, dude. It was fucking hilarious.
Jesus.
That's what it's come down to, man, is commentators trolling him in his interviews and laughing at him because they could never do it. I mean, it just was ridiculous. I give it to BVB. They did it. They are now like plus 250 to beat Real Madrid. I mean, you're better off just putting a little bit on them, even though
you've
shown it. I mean, who cares at this point?
We'll get to that. I want your take. So take Mbappe out of the equation here. Who did you think was the biggest choker for PSG besides him? Because you had Ramos, you had Dembele, you had Ruiz, Vitinha.
Ramos, 100%. He hadn't started in how many matches, and an idiot puts him in there to start this match. He shouldn't have been playing up front. I don't think he should have started. When I saw he was starting, I was blown away because he didn't start the last three matches. I mean, I'm not making this up. This guy has just had misses. He's 21, 22. He has time to develop, but he's just not – it's not it right now. He needs a little bit more time to tweak that finishing. It's the same with, like, Rasmus Højlund. You just – you got to have time before you're thrown into these. There are certain players who can do it. I mean, of course. But even players like Haaland had his time at freaking Salzburg, Borussia Dortmund, did he not? So, come on. I mean, it was bad calls by the ex-Spain manager. He just didn't make some right calls, man. And Enrique, he just looked like an idiot. When I saw him, Ramos starting up front, it shouldn't have been like that. You're better off leaving Mbappe up there with Dembele on the side and having another winger on the side. It just wasn't right, man. I give him, he's the one who I feel had a few chances too, that if he made it, changed everything, and he just didn't do it.
Yeah, interesting tactic. If you looked at it in the first half, especially, Luis Enrique had Ramos, Mbappe, and Dembele squeezed. So this front three squeezed tight. So that pinches Madsen, Schlotterbeck, Hummels, and Ryerson in, which then frees up the overlapping fullback, Hakimi, to get outside. If you look on coming from PSG into Dortmund's goal, the right side, they did everything down the right side in the first half pretty much, unless they got isolation with Mbappe one-on-one. He would try and take on Ryerson or Sabitzer or somebody like that. But a lot of the attacks in the first half, they had a strategy where they would try and squeeze Dortmund, make them compress, and that frees up the wing. And then you can get Zaire Emery and Hakimi up there when they try to link up with Dembele. They did that a few times. Dembele got linked up with a number of times. And that's where I'm going to go with. He, to me, is the biggest choker besides Mbappe in this, is because I thought Dembele had not free reign, but a lot of space, and especially in the first half, because I thought it was a good tactic by Luis Enrique to try and get Dortmund to go tight, as opposed to if they go wide, then you come through the middle. But he crunched them in. So that was to me was a really good strategy. It didn't end up working out, but that's because I believe Dembele couldn't finish his sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah, they were just littered with non-finishing, man. I mean, the whole front of Paris Saint-Germain, I mean, they all get shitted on because they just, no one can finish. I mean, defensively, they did a decent job. I mean, Donnarumma had a few good saves. Like, they had the one set piece fumble on the defensive end. They stopped Adeyemi, they stopped him on that one.
That was a breakaway.
Yeah, like defensively, like, yes, they lost 1-0, 1-0. Like, it's funny because all they had to do is score a couple goals. It's not like BVB were destroying them 3 or 4-0. They just could not even get one. So defensively, they played very well. It's just that attacking front that just is terrible, man.
If you told me before to preview, so I said it would be a draw. If you listen, people go back to the video and listen to me. I said it was going to be a 1-1 draw, and Dortmund would advance 2-1 on aggregate. This was never going to be a high-scoring fixture for Dortmund. It was not. If they were going to win, it was going to be ugly. It was going to be gritty. It was going to be defensively. And it was going to be either 2-0 or 2-1 or 3-2 over two legs. This was the blueprint. This was absolutely Edin Terzic's blueprint. Whatever he fails to do in the Bundesliga, he has this Champions League season. Borussia Dortmund in 1997 were the best team in Europe. That is, they had the Ballon d'Or winner from Germany, Matthias Sammer. That Dortmund team, we laugh about Dortmund. Ha 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 ha. There was a time when Dortmund were the best team in the world. They won the Intercontinental Cup. They won the Champions League. They beat Juventus to do it 3-1. Yes, Juventus 3-1. Dortmund, that side, if you take away that season, this is the best. Yeah, and I know they made the Champions League final in 2013. They beat Real Madrid 4-1 on the way to get there. But again, that Klopp Dortmund team had far more talent than this team. Far more talent. You're talking about Mario Götze, Robert Lewandowski, Marco Reus, Mats Hummels, Nuri Sahin, I don't know. I remember if Kagawa was still part of that team or not, but you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. Timo Weidenfeller and goal. It was stacked. That was loaded. Yeah. Gundogan, I believe, was also on that squad. I mean, yeah. I'm just naming you dream teamer after dream teamer after dream teamer on that side. Yeah. So yes, I mean, but this Dortmund team is like, they're very much like the eight seed in the NCAA tournament in basketball. You're going to have to grind it out, man. If you want to get to that final, you're going to have to grind it out. Yeah, this is absolutely the most impressive season in Champions League football in Dortmund's history. If you take away the 97 season, I will not dismiss that because they won it all. I can't dismiss that. But if you compare this to the 2013 season, that was a team that had far more talent and a much better manager.
Than Jurgen Klopp.
So, I would say if you said 2013 Dortmund in the Champions League final, are you surprised? No, not really. I mean, they're really good. They won back-to-back Bundesliga titles. Jurgen Klopp's the manager. They're loaded with young talent. No, I'm not surprised by that. This one, dude, you and I predicted them to go straight out of Europe.
Yeah.
We said they won't even make the Europa League.
Yeah.
They were going to finish dead last in the group of death. What did they do? They won the group of death.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, this is they had to honestly, Nick, in the Champions League, execute. It's easy to come up with a game plan. That's the easy part. To execute it is a whole different thing.
Yeah,
they have been damn near perfect, and I said this since September in this competition.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, no, I agree. The Cinderella story, comparing it to the NCAA, is exactly that. You just got everybody gelling together, playing great together, and they've made it now to the final. I mean, it's a great thing to see. I mean, thank God we get this storyline, because, I mean, there's no telling. If they weren't doing this, we'd probably have a freaking, you know, I mean, even though we wanted Inter, I mean, you know, there's no telling who we would have had. We could have had two freaking blood oil guys or somebody. At least we got this story to cling on to, man. Cause I mean, what they've been doing is incredible. And they've all just playing so well together. There's not one guy. I mean, we can all set our focus on Jadon Sancho, cause everyone loves to see him doing well after the United debacle. But in all honesty, it's just everyone. It's not Fulkrug. It's not Sancho. Everyone has been playing so well together that it's a team. It's literally a team thing, and they've been doing it so good. I mean, like, we can say Sancho, but you know, it's really just everyone. Everyone's mm-hmm. been playing so good together that they have made it this far because of that teamwork, and it's been a wonder and a great thing to watch, man. I mean, I didn't think they'd make it this far, and so did 90% of the world. I mean, a lot of German fans have been saying it, but that's, you know, they're using a little bit of their heart in this, and they wanted to see that happen. You know, so a non-biased person would have never guessed Borussia Dortmund to go. I don't care what anyone said. They were like a pre-tournament, like plus 3,300 to win it. Like, it's just, you know, it's like Leicester City winning the Prem. Not that crazy, but you know what I'm saying.
It's not that crazy. That was like plus 15.
Oh yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. They've defied the odds, is what I'm getting at, and it's a great thing to see, man. They've saved football partially. You know, we're not there yet, but we're getting close.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's switch to that real quick. Let's not spend too much time on this. I just want your opinion. What is Kylian Mbappe's legacy at PSG?
No, it's failure. Yeah, there's nothing good about it. He's completely failed. Yep, there's nothing else. It's a failure.
Okay, excellent. So moving on, Nick, now the game that made you want to throw your remote and stick it in the TV screen and pull someone's eyeballs out.
Absolutely.
So you and I are watching on Wednesday. We are both pretty, you know, it's rare, and I mean rare. I mean really rare that you and I are pulling for Bayern Munich. I mean, that is...
Yeah.
Holiday somewhere on the moon. But this was one of those cases. Yep. And again, for 85 minutes, Bayern Munich executed a perfect game plan. They went ahead. They scored the go-ahead goal. They got ahead 3-2 on aggregate. And, you know, and unlike the PSG commentary, excuse me, the CBS commentary towards PSG, there was, until the very end, I will say, until the very end, the Madrid magic, as they called it, yeah. This was a lot more even in terms of, well, Bayern have done what they're supposed to do, and Madrid fuck around and find out. You think Bayern Munich are candy?
Because, well, why don't you tell the listeners what you said to me at halftime? Why don't we talk about that? That's something I think we should start with. What did you tell me?
Remind me what I said. Remind me what I said.
You said Carlo. If Carlo is playing their penalties, then he is.
Now you refresh. Thank you. So I texted you. I said, I hope that Carlo's not playing for penalties.
Yeah.
And you said something to the effect of, I hope not too. And I said, the thing is, the sad part is, why would you want to leave a Champions League final up to chance on a 50-50 coin flip? Because Manuel Neuer is not someone who even though he's 36 or whatever he is, he's experienced. Like I don't want to. Lunin's got far less experience than he does.
Yeah.
I just don't want a guy who, he ain't as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. You're messing with fire there.
Absolutely.
And I said, if Real Madrid wins it on penalties, just like they did with City, they're going to say that was the game plan all along. That's Carlo's genius. Carlo Ancelotti is a genius. And I'm like, no, that's called a pregame coin toss that just happened. You called heads and you got heads.
Yeah.
There's nothing, no skill involved. It's all luck. And it's all just a matter of the keeper guessing the right corner or the shooter skying it or kicking it wide left, wide right, or scoring. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And some of the biggest names in the game, of course, everyone remembers the 1994 World Cup with Roberto Baggio for Italy, skies it right over the net. Biggest name in Italian football, Italy lose to Brazil on penalties in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
And we've seen it. We've seen it time and time again. We just talked about this, how great a player Bernardo Silva is.
Yeah.
But yet he takes his penalty against Madrid and looks like a complete rookie, a complete
idiot.
Right. Now that's Pep's fault for
leaving him in the
placing him in that position because that's not his skill set.
Nope.
Silva scores intelligent goals, position goals where he is. His football IQ, there's nothing football IQ about penalties.
No.
It's just literally not. So, but I did say Madrid supporters will say that was the plan all along. If your plan is a manager, and I said, then you're an idiot, then I take back every nice thing I've ever said about Carlo. Yeah. If your plan going into a two-leg fixture is to get to penalties after 180, you are an idiot.
Yes, then fuck you. Yeah.
Because I said to you, the only team that looks interested in scoring right now is Thomas Tuchel's Bayern.
Yeah.
And they were trying, and then they broke through.
Yeah.
And then they broke through. And I was like, well, now this looks unbelievably stupid on Carlo's part.
Yeah. Then it changed. So I wanted to bring that up because it was a tale of two.
Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. It was a tale of two halves, man. Like we were, you know, Real Madrid coming at him for 5 or 10 minutes, and then it's like, what happened? Are you really playing to go to penalties in the Bernabeu? Like, what in the world is going on? And then, boy, did we get some action a little bit later, man. Did this end completely differently?
Okay, so you go into that because you
you were
were both mad, but I feel like you were even. I think you were even more furious than I was.
Yeah,
you recorded. You recorded a video right after this and put it on.
I was speechless
on Instagram. Yeah, yeah. So go ahead, give your take on this because this is 85. So let's set the stage. 87th minute. 87th.
Well,
minute,
Davey scores in the 74th. I think maybe.
Yeah, future Real Madrid star Davey scores. Scores against his next daddy. He scores against his next daddy.
Yeah, future club. So he gets the goal. He gets the goal at 68. Excuse me. And when he gets that goal, it changes everything. Next thing you know, everyone's like, "Oh my God, Real Madrid's gonna blow it. Real Madrid this." And everyone's on their toes. Well, there's a call for I think Nacho pushes Kimmich in the face, and Kimmich does like a simulated fall, but he really did get pushed. Like he was helping the fall down, but he really did get shoved in his face. So we had that first happen with VAR. VAR overturned it as they should have. Me and you were talking, and we knew that they should have overturned it, and they did. So by like the 78th, the 80th, Real Madrid are waking up, and they're coming at him. Joselu is subbed in for Valverde. Valverde had a terrible game. I mean, Valverde just was completely off. Joselu, mind you, the player that is only worth about 5 mil. He comes from Espanyol and Alaves, who were second tier side. He did play for Newcastle a couple years. Deportivo La Coruña, he played for Stoke. A little bit of time in Germany at Hoffenheim, Frankfurt, and Hanover. So he's a journeyman. You know, Real Madrid picked him up just so they could have that striker coming off the bench. And Joselu comes on. And the first goal, is Joselu. He scores. And then I think, I want to say the first goal. Yeah, Manuel Neuer has the mistake. Okay. The timeless wonder, the guy we spoke of so highly, the timeless wonder. The black Real Madrid magic, black magic, right, Real Madrid, black, yeah, magic Real Madrid happened.
He played a fantastic game up until that point, by the
way. Yes, he was, good point. Absolutely lights out game. The guy's playing the game of his freaking career. All these saves, and the ball, he misjudges a bounce, and the ball kind of hits him in the finger chest area because he has his hands up like he's going to catch it. Well, guess who's there on the pounce? Joselu, game tied in the 87th minute. 87 minutes, man. Bayern Munich was that close from finishing this off. And now I want to backtrack a little bit, okay? We're going to backtrack to the 76th, the 84th minute, okay? Kim Min-jae is brought on for Leroy Sané. Now, this is right after the disallowed goal for the push on the face on Kimmich. Then, that's in the 76th minute. The 84th minute, Choupo-Moting, who has done absolutely nothing, and Thomas Müller come on for Musiala, Harry Kane, and Leroy Sané. Now, if Real Madrid do respond and answer, it's 1-1, who is going to get you goal in the extra time? You have now taken off all of your offensive power.
Yeah, we talked about this with Tuchel.
Well, you said, you know, you were like,
five. So Bayern shifted to a back five. That's what they did. When they took off, who was it that they subbed in? Was it Kim? Was he the first sub? Am I right about that? Or
Kim came in for Sané. That's when they switched it.
That's it. So when they brought Kim in and took Sané off, they started playing a back five.
Yes, but you got to keep – I mean, dude, this is at the 76th minute. There's still a lot of time left, man. You can't just assume
this
or
think –
This is the roll of the dice. Yeah, this was a massive roll of the dice. And guess what, man? It didn't pay off. I mean, they had too much – I feel he shouldn't have done that, man. I mean, you took off all your offensive prowess to switch it up and tell Real Madrid we're going to sit back and defend you. And I don't know who in the world –
the one that's really head-scratching, Sané to me can come off. He's only scored one goal since the fall, which was last week. The one that makes me scratch my head is Harry Kane coming off.
Yes.
Because now you have to start thinking about penalty shootout in case you do concede.
Yeah.
And he's your most clinical – goal scorer. So to me, that one is just because if you take them off, man, they're off. That's it.
Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. We're not bringing you back on.
You have Upamecano shooting penalties for you. I mean, I'm exaggerating there, but you know, that's my point. what's his name? What's the guy, the kid's name? Pavlovich. I mean,
yeah, Pavlovich. He started. Yeah,
he started. I mean, just some questionable calls, but Bayern saw it through.
Yeah,
and got the aggregate lead 3-2, and now you're seeing, starting in the 70s, somewhere in the 70s, you start seeing Tuchel making the defensive changes to basically wall up and park the bus.
Yeah.
He's not interested in going forward unless it is an actual counterattack. And you just took off your fastest winger in Sané, and you took off your most clinical scorer in Kane late. So, yeah. But Bayern switched to a five-man back line. So, yeah. So now you're there. You got us to 3-3 or 1-1 in this game. 3-3
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Manuel, he makes that mistake. And then you got it tied. Now it's tied up. Now you're just like, oh my God, what now? This is Real Madrid. Here we go. Here we go again with the freaking black voodoo magic. And sure enough, man, Real Madrid, they answer. Joselu scores that goal. He gets his brace. The guy who comes from Espanyol, the guy who was a nobody journeyman, gets the goal. He scores a nice goal, man. I mean, Joselu gets the goal, so he has his brace. Well, they check it, goal stands. Okay, we move forward. Now they're up. Well, they keep playing, and I want to get this right, man. They call – so there's – I'm trying to think. There's a I'm trying to set this up. So they Bayern Munich score a goal but there's an offsides and he's supposed to not stop the play was it a foul and then he doesn't stop the play and then Bayern score at the very end or was it what was it? It was
You talk about the offside. That's the one that Bayern complained about.
So yeah. At the very end, the referee actually admitted to making a mistake. They're not supposed to stop play.
Yeah.
He blew the whistle. So when he blew that whistle, you had a couple of the Real Madrid guys kind of stop playing, and what's his name? De Ligt scores a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, now it's fucking tied. Thomas Tuchel's wigging out. Like, everybody, like, now it's tied. But they stop it and review it. And there was a phantom offside or whatnot. And they called it off anyways because the main referee blew his whistle and said to stop play. Well, you're not supposed to stop play. Play is supposed to continue. And VAR is supposed to review it as you're playing. You're not supposed to stop play. Well, he stopped play, and De Ligt, in the end, did say that the linesman apologized to him and said he made a mistake. So
that's right, yeah. Glad you covered that, because he did. Yeah, the linesman said that he made a mistake, yeah.
Yep, controversy at the very end, and it just
But isn't it interesting how these mistakes are always made to benefit Real Madrid?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Man. It's just a fucking joke. It really is, man. I was so disappointed. Like Bayern Munich, I feel did get cheated. I mean, even Thiago was like, "Yeah, this is a big controversy. Like, this is a big." I forget what the word scandal, like the referee, he's apparently one of the best referees on the planet. Like this Polish guy is,
he officiated in the World Cup. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the guy that you want officiating your match. He's fair and everything. And he made such a big mistake that it cost Bayern Munich this. And now you got Real Madrid going in the final. I mean, it was just, there was so many points of talk here from the goalie mistake, from the VAR calls, from the blown whistle to stop play when it shouldn't have stopped, and then Bayern Munich scoring, not to mention there was 9 minutes of stoppage time and they were playing till the 15th. Now there was some reviewing going on, so I see a few minutes added, but 15 minutes, I mean, there was so much going on in this match at the end, it was just, it wasn't right, man. And it just rubbed me absolutely wrong. Of course, I wanted to see Bayern Munich advance, but to see Real Madrid get it like that is just, it's like you said, man, it's that magic that they always get when there's a call being called. Who is always going to get that call?
What's the magic though? Is it magic or is it favoritism?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, man. It's not magic. I mean it's straight. Let's give them the calls. But they will call it magic. They'll call it the magic of the Bernabeu, magic of Real Madrid.
Well, this would have happened. This would have probably happened in Munich too. Don't get that twisted for a second. This doesn't matter where they play. This happens to Real Madrid all the time. I'm going to tell you a similar situation, my friend, and you're going to laugh your ass off. 2004 Champions League. These same two teams played Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Manuel Neuer in his prime has been considered the greatest keeper in the world at some point. He's not anymore, but he was. Oliver Kahn, 2002 FIFA World Cup player of the tournament. Best goalie on the planet. Real Madrid's playing Bayern Munich. Roberto Carlos shoots a lightning bolt free kick from about 30 to 35 meters out. Kahn gets a hand on it, stops it. Ball is so powerful, pops off of his hand and rolls into the goal backwards.
Oh, wow.
Real Madrid score on a wonder goal. Same kind of situation. Neuer stops the initial shot.
Yeah.
It comes off his hands. Yeah. And homeboy's there to tap it in like he's Harry Kane Jr.
Yeah.
Tapping King.
Taps it.
And so this, to me, that may be some kind of voodoo magic, but officiating calls is not. That's not voodoo magic. That's not Madrid magic. That's complete
favoritism,
bias, favoritism. And always, I just want to ask you, when is the last time? And anybody can chime in on this. Please tell me, when is the last time you saw a call in a critical situation go against Madrid? Please tell me. Please tell us,
bro. All I do is watch football, and I watch Real Madrid. I've never seen it. Never. Like, I can't think of one time in a game where they've been shafted. Like, I just can't. Even when they did get beat by Chelsea, when Chelsea won, that was the only team that they really had to beat on their path to get to the final. They got calls there. I mean, they still lost, but it's just something you don't see, man. You never see Real Madrid getting shafted on these calls. Like, it's just, it's something that just doesn't happen. And, you know, sadly, now we got to see them in this final. And this game, this Bayern Munich game is just, I'm never going to forget it, man. I just, that ending, that last 20 minutes from the football to the afterwards and just watching the replay and seeing everything, it's just such a load of crap, man. It makes me want to not even participate in that final, dude. It makes me sick. It shouldn't be happening, and a lot of people who have a lot of subscribers and channels are saying it's killing football. It really is.
Yeah. So yeah, it's killing football. That's I mean that's one way to put it. It's making it far less interesting, far more predictable. And I guess if you're a Hala Madrid fan, then
you're in paradise.
Yay for you. I mean it's like the you said the Battle of the Bottlers was BVB and PSG, the battle of the cheaters was Madrid versus City.
Yeah.
And the king cheaters, the king of kings when it comes to favoritism, bias calls, basically all sorts of bullcrap happening at the exact wrong moment for the opposing team against you. That is exactly what happened to City. City were on the receiving end of that. I mean, they felt it themselves. Like you can't out-cheat a cheater, man. You just can't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much blood oil money you got. You know, Madrid have been doing this since the 50s, bro. It's ridiculous. And I am just, one side of the Champions League is this unbelievable story of a real club having to fight through like a wounded dog. And, you know, they're taking it on the chin in the league. They are going to qualify for Champions League, obviously, through fifth place and the coefficient. But, you know, it's in any other year, fifth place would be Europa League. They just happen to be fifth place in a year where the Champions League is expanding and Germany got the coefficient to get a fifth spot. It's insane. Yeah. But so Dortmund, though, keep the Champions League streak of 9 consecutive years alive. But that's fifth place is not that great in the Bundesliga, not when VfB Stuttgart are in third, and they with one win and an iron loss would be second.
Yeah.
On no planet should VfB Stuttgart be outperforming Borussia Dortmund in the league, but they are. On the flip side of that though, Dortmund have been near perfect in Champions League. But then you have the other side of the bracket where it's City, Bayern, Arsenal, and Madrid. And you're like, well, what's the odd thing out here? What doesn't look right in this stack of cards? Obviously, Arsenal, right? So bye-bye Arsenal. You already knew that. I mean, they weren't going to get any calls against Bayern. No way. Then City and Madrid is like, who's going to out-cheat the cheat?
Yeah.
And City's like, well, we got this cheat thing in the back. Like that but Madrid's like, well, we're the innovators of it, bro. We wrote the script on how to do this.
Yeah. So then
you have to hear the absurdity from Real Madrid supporters that a penalty shootout was the game plan by Carlo Ancelotti. Well, he is a dumbass manager. If that's the, you're going to take Manchester City to a penalty shootout is the plan? I don't believe that, by the way, for the record. I think those people on Twitter are absolute idiots. Carlo Ancelotti is a mastermind. He is a genius. And I give him, he's one of the greatest managers of our lifetime. But those are idiot supporters then. You are a moron if you think that was the game plan. But how much did you read? How many people did you read that said, oh, that was just part of the genius City, wear them down, get them to penalties, and then kick them out, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll advance the coin.
Unbelievable, right? Just park the bus at the Etihad, you know, whatever. But then it comes to Bayern, and you're like, well, Bayern's also they're the biggest beneficiaries of officiating in the Bundesliga. No one is going to How do I say this? They're not going to get more calls than Bayern in domestically. Nobody is.
God no.
And so the only way you're going to beat Bayern is to actually beat Bayern. So Leverkusen have done that this season. But that's one out of 12 seasons that it's happened. So this was to me, Real Madrid and Bayern was a toss-up. And, you know, you could say, and Carlo Ancelotti even said that Bayern were the better team in Munich. And I do agree with that. They had 2-1, a 2-1 lead for 30 minutes. And what happens at the end? They let a goal leak in. And that 2-2, if they get it to 4-2 in Madrid with the Davies goal, then I think it might be over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems, Nick, that when we talk about conspiracy theories and the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer and this class system, you know, between the aristocrats and the serfs in the world of football, the distance between the two, the gap, if you will, is growing ever so larger every single season, it seems like. And with you look at this final and you're wondering, I said I could see happening 1-1 or 0-0, and then penalty against Dortmund 90th plus 5.
Yeah.
Bellingham steps up, takes it 1-0. As soon as he hits it, they blow the whistle. They basically get to go to the middle of the pitch and they kick off to start the game back, and the whistle blows immediately as soon as they touch the ball.
Did you see in Bellingham's clause, if Real Madrid win the Champions League, they get 23 million? So if Borussia wins it, they get 20. So if Real Madrid win, they'll receive more money for actually winning that. Did you see that's part of his contract? How funny is that?
That is, I did not see that that was part of his contract.
$23 million was the deal if they gave Real Madrid Bellingham, that if they do make the Champions League and win the final with him, then they give Borussia Dortmund $23 million and they are going to actually be there to have the chance to do that. So funny in the end for BVB. Regardless, they're going to come out with plenty of money, even though they won't spend it on anything. They'll still get some. So,
well, you said you opened the discussion about the final. We have so much time to preview this final.
Yeah, we will give it
its fair amount of time. Trust me, that final will get its own show.
Yeah,
but yeah. The quick, super preview snapshot, you know, Polaroid version of it is that you put on here, and I'm going to read what you wrote. You texted me, Dortmund's going to have to beat VAR. They're going to have to beat Madrid on the pitch. They're going to have to beat the fourth official, the head official. They're going to have to beat Cayman Islands. They're going to have to beat Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah.
And then they're probably going to have to beat somebody else, some high roller in Vegas that put his entire mansion on that match.
Yep.
So yep. If they win, if BVB somehow pulls this off, I would say so funny thing is when Porto won, they played another Monaco. So that was like two
small
underdogs playing each other. So Jose Mourinho didn't beat a Madrid in the final or anything like that, but Porto won. This would be that's definitely modern era, but in the super, super modern era, in the era of just money just taking over completely, this would be the biggest upset in the Champions League history in the 21st century. I would go on record saying that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Just the odds alone are already so $100 will win you $300 on BVB. They're not giving them much of a chance at all. I mean, this is going to – I'm telling you what it's going to rival. It's going to be the same odds or maybe even worse that they gave Juventus in 2018 or 2017. Watch.
And Juventus was loaded. That was Gonzalo Higuain. That was Paulo Dybala.
Yeah.
That was a loaded Juventus side. Let's not Buffon in goal.
Yeah.
Juventus was destroying Serie A at that time. That was a very, very good Juventus team. On the flip side, though, that's prime Real Madrid you're talking about. CR7, but Benzema, Modric, Bale. Gareth Bale off the bench, Zidane on the touchline. I mean, this is, you know, the outcome doesn't really surprise you. You still had
4-1.
Nacho and those guys on there. But
4-1, Real Madrid killed them.
4-1, yeah. It was a very boring Champions League final. I Dortmund's going to have to be perfect one more time.
Yeah,
one more time. So we'll see. We're not going to get too far into that. We've talked about our conspiracy theories. Dortmund got through all of them, and Bayern fell victim to them, unfortunately. We'll have to see. But it just seems this is the next thing I'm going to talk about, and I've calmed down about this since last night. But we're going to talk about this as well. It's like you trip over the same stump on the way to work 8-9 days in a row. It's like, when are you going to learn to not to avoid that stump, right?
No, I get that.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go to – here we go. Atalanta beats Marseille. Whoop-de-doo. We all knew that was coming. There's your review on that, 3-0. Yeah. Marseille had no business even really being there. Yeah. Atalanta proved it. They're in the Europa League final, much deserved. They beat Liverpool, was really their toughest test. They got past them. 3-0 win at Anfield. That was the big win for them to get them there. Yeah. I never thought that Marseille really had much of a chance.
Nope.
Then we go, Leverkusen. So they're up 2-0 in Rome coming out of that match. And yet again, they're down 2-0 at home. They're down 2-0 at home. The fixture.
Start with the lineup. Remember that we talked about
the lineup. They have Andrik on the bench. They have Virts on the bench. They have Boniface on the bench. I don't understand this. And Xabi Alonso's okay, we broke Benfica's most consecutive wins. Well, sorry, most consecutive matches undefeated streak at 47. We beat it at 48. But the goal, the true goal, is to go undefeated in all competitions for an entire calendar season from August to May. So that's the goal. No one has ever done it. No one has ever done it. And if you're truly serious about that, it doesn't matter if you have a 2-0 lead on aggregate. Yeah, I mean, likely Leverkusen, if they lose 2-1 at home, they advance to the final. No questions asked. They're in the final against Atalanta.
Yeah.
But their streak, that is a loss. That is an individual game. You won the fixture, but you lost the match. It's just like they're saying, well, Liverpool beat Atalanta the second in Bergamo.
Yeah.
Who cares? You lost 3-0 at Anfield. Yeah, they went to Bergamo. They won 1-0. Aggregate 3-1, they're out. I don't see Liverpool still playing.
Yeah.
But people said, well, the good news is they won. I don't think Atalanta was really interested in winning that second leg. They already had it won.
Yeah.
They already had it won. They weren't going to go forward at all. Liverpool was going to have to score 4 goals to beat them outright. No chance. So, Leverkusen, down 2-0. Score an own goal. What is it, 83rd minute or something?
Yep.
82nd, 83rd minute.
Yep.
And then, Nick, I said, well, that gets them into the final. That's all you need. But the streak is over.
Yeah.
The Undertaker streak of WrestleMania wins is over.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar has beaten him. Roma, congratulations. You snapped it. They still own the most consecutive wins or most consecutive matches without a loss, but they don't get the record they wanted, which was one entire season in all competitions undefeated, becoming the first team in all of club football to do that.
Sadly, it
is over.
Yeah.
And then in the 90th plus 7.
Yeah.
Again. How many times? 90th plus 5, 90th plus 7, 90th plus 7. God have mercy.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, it's just like, and I said, it's hard for me. It's like, it's hard for me to believe that this equivalent of this, Nick. Like, think about if you're trying to break a record, say in basketball, and you need this many wins, and 9 games, you hit a half court shot to win the game, which is like impossible.
Yeah.
You might get 2 of those a season, 3 maybe, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And they got not like a corner. I think, what did they say? The chances of scoring on a corner are like, what is it, 5%?
Oh, yeah, it's low. Yeah.
It's low, right? They always score on a set piece or something. They've done that. They did it against Dortmund a couple weeks ago in the league or something.
Yeah, Dortmund, they got the header. Yeah, well, this was an open play goal. So
yeah, that's why I took it back. Yeah. I said it's not always, but a lot of times it is a set piece from Leverkusen.
It is.
This was open play. Yes, this was open play.
Yeah, so Stanzik gets the ball and drives down the right side of the pitch, cuts in, does a little cut in, shoots it, and gets it past the goalie. And they win in the 90 plus 7. Yet not win, but they keep the streak alive.
They draw and they win the fixture, yeah.
Yes, they draw. They don't get the red. They're in the green. And Stanzik, who came on the pitch at the 90th minute, who's full of energy, runs down that pitch and scores that goal. I get exactly what you're saying. I do, man. And you're all, I hope Atlanta kill them.
No, I don't. I won't leave.
Right, so you calm down.
Yeah, yes. The thing is that we started getting talking about Madrid, and I'm like, well, how is Leverkusen any different right now? Because it's just like, it seems like there's this push to, I want them to do it. If they're going to do it legitimately. Don't have help getting there. Yeah.
Don't wait till the last second every time. Like,
well, no one's that lucky. That's the thing, is that no one is that lucky.
Yeah, it's a tricky and funny thing, man. It really is. Because I even said it. I said, if they get this to 2-2 again, it's just absolutely unreal. And I love the story, and I want to believe, man. And I do. It's just so, how it's so lucky, dude. You said it perfectly right. How many times can a team hit a freaking half court shot to win the game, dude? Like, every single time. I remember the Indians went on a 22 or 24 game win streak in the MLB. And I'm leaning at 9 or 10 straight. I'm like, dude, this can't keep going on. And they would keep getting these crazy plays. Pitchers would 10, 12 strikeouts. And it went all the way up to like 22 or 23. And yeah. I'm like, what in the world? Every now and then you see a team do this. I think the Indians tied the record.
Athletics did it with Billy Beane.
Yeah.
The 2001 season where they had Mark Mulder and Barry Zito pitching. They went like 23 games. That's the whole Moneyball.
That was Moneyball season.
Yeah.
So there is teams that do get fortunate enough to do this every now and then, but there comes a point where it's like, how do you have this much luck? Like, is it really luck? Are teams laying it down and letting Stanzik run down the right side of the pitch and just cut in and hit it? I mean, to me, from my eye check, it looks like they're trying to defend and they're trying to break this record for Leverkusen, but somehow they just continuously do this.
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself, it raises some red flags, man. It really does. I just feel that this is this one time in 60 years that we're going to get to see someone do this. And if they can finish this, I don't know if we'll ever see it again. Me and you won't.
Maybe we won't see it again. Not in our lifetime. No, because football's been around over 100 years, going on 200 years, and it's never happened before. So it's not going to happen again. This is going to be everything that Real Madrid, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, Man United, Juventus, Inter, all of them have done is going to be trumped by this. This is going to be the best individual season of any club in the history of football.
Yeah.
This is the Xabi Alonso is going to etch his name in history. What is this? Two years into his full managerial career?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be an icon. People are going to talk about this 100 years from now.
Is this his first season at Leverkusen or second?
First full season, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because he came from Real Sociedad B.
Yeah, exactly. This is his first full season at Leverkusen.
Yeah, just which is absolutely crazy. You got to think the luck runs up, man. I mean, they have a final to play in, and then they have Bochum and Augsburg and K-Town, Kaiserslautern. So four matches left. Can they do it? They're playing Bochum away, Augsburg at home, the final in Dublin, and then the DFB Pokal to cap it all off against a team fighting to stay up.
So he was appointed October of 2022, so 2 months into the previous season. Leverkusen were in relegation area.
Wow.
He brought them from relegation zone into Europa League.
Holy cow.
Yes, sir.
I didn't even realize So he even had a great season before.
They were in the Champions League that season. They were in the Champions League. I think they finished third in their group, dropped down to Europa League. He basically took them out of the depths of hell to a Europa League semifinal and got them into the Europa League via where he finished in the table last season. And before that, they were in the relegation zone, though. It's much like Klopp's last season at Dortmund when they were 18th at Christmas and then they finished seventh.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but that's another turnaround. So Xavi's been outstanding ever since he got there. He just came in a little too late. If he had been there since day one last season, who knows? I mean, they had Florian Wirtz last season. They had some of those players, so they may have challenged for
Champions
League or something last season. I mean, well, Bayern was vulnerable last year, so Dortmund got as many points as they did. They just lost the goal differential. If what was it? 73, I think 73 points won the league last year. So
73-75.
Leverkusen. If they get if they start from August last year with Xabi, I mean, can he get them 74 points? Maybe.
Hell, he could have won. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Could have been back to back league titles. But this is like the coronation of all coronations when it comes to individual seasons. So I want to see him pull it through.
I'm glad your stance changed, man, because you're a Germany guy.
Yeah, no, I am. I just. It's hard crazy. For me to swallow this. It's hard for me.
It's hard, man. It really is. It's absolutely crazy. I agree with you, man. When I saw, so on the app, you can see the teams, and there'll be a big chant starts flashing next to the name. When I saw that happen, and it said 90+7, I said, "There's no way." I said, "This can't be." I said, "This is not real." And sure enough, I couldn't even believe it myself, man. I was running around the restaurant, you know, I mean, even short staffed and knowing I'm about to get my butt kicked. I'm like, wow, dude, this is just crazy. I couldn't stop texting you. It was right. Mind blowing. Yeah. And it's something that's hard to swallow, man. So I don't blame you, man. You were definitely, we were not going at it, but you were giving it, you were telling me your thoughts, boy. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking to myself, God, man, this is his Germany side. This is what you want. You know, you want to represent Germany in all these finals, man, or in all these tournaments.
Sure. I mean, it would be great if Leverkusen and Dortmund won. Then you would have an all German European Super Cup. I mean, that's never happened before. I mean, this is in a time where we say that Germany is a farmers' league. They're performing better in Europe than they ever have before. I mean, this is insanity how great they perform. That's why England, I laugh at them saying they were going to get the coefficient. What a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, what an absolute joke. Liverpool drop out, City drop out, Arsenal drop out, West Ham drops out.
Aston Villa.
What a joke. Real quickly, so the finals are set. So real quickly, it's Real Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund, it's Bayer Leverkusen versus Atalanta. So we got two German squads and two Mediterranean teams, one from La Liga, one from Serie A. Going to be great. Real quick, Nick, who is in the final of the Conference League?
It's Olympiacos and Fiorentina. So Italy and another Greek side.
Greek side, yeah. So
– yeah.
Interesting matchup there. Fiorentina probably would be my pick to win that. Pretty formidable this season.
Absolutely, yeah. Fiorentina is definitely better side. Olympiacos, what they did to Aston Villa and Dracula, it needs to be studied. They manhandled that team. I mean, Aston Villa couldn't even score yesterday.
Right.
Very bad showing. I don't really know if he cared enough, like, if that makes sense, like his lineup and stuff, putting out kids. I don't think that it was in his interest to make it to this final. I'm feeling like he's more concerned with that top four, even though they are really kind of secured up there with Tottenham absolutely shitting the bed. So yeah. I would have loved to see him make the final, Aston Villa, but yeah, man, they just were totally outclassed.
Let me ask you this question then, because we're going to shift topics, and we talked about, we're going to continue our little history lesson here on conspiracy theories. You presented an interesting scenario to me earlier this week, and this has to do with the only league that's really, actually the only league that's undecided. And that is the English Premier League.
Yeah.
And it is mathematically still possible for Liverpool to win the league. It is highly likely it will be either Arsenal or Man City that wins the league. But City has three games left. They're all against teams that are ranked 13th or higher. So it's not the easiest. It's not like they're playing Sheffield.
Yeah.
Bournemouth and Luton.
Yeah.
They're playing West Ham, they're playing Spurs, and they're playing Fulham. Now, Arsenal plays Man United, who are in an absolute tailspin. They are about to crash on Earth. They lost to Crystal Palace 4-0. Mark Goldbridge is losing his mind.
Yeah.
By the way, shame on you, Mark, for trolling your fans about the cease and desist letter. That's total bullshit. But
dirty.
Should know that from a troll. We should know that he's a troll and he's trolling people. So, but anyways, the United fans are losing their mind. Bayern apparently likes Seven Hag. Seven Hag is you know, they're Manchester United. I don't know what their managerial situation looks like. But if they beat Arsenal and then City slips up against Fulham, and or if Arsenal draws against United, City slips up against Fulham, Liverpool wins Monday against Aston Villa, which I don't think will happen. I actually don't. I that's either going to be a draw or a loss for Liverpool. The narrative shifts, and you have said that then makes the last weekend of the season must-see TV, because you would have a three-team race to the end, and one of them City has to beat outright because they don't have the goal differential. And that would be Arsenal. If Arsenal and City tie on points, we have a Dortmund-Bayern situation from last year where the goal differential is the deciding factor in who wins the Premier League title. So in this case, that would go to Arsenal.
Yeah.
This is – now, I think your scenario is absolutely going to happen in terms of two teams. I think it's going to be City and Arsenal, but that's not a – that's been them for the last 2 weeks now at this point, since Liverpool had a complete lapse of concentrations, putting it – way too nicely. I mean, just complete destruction of anything intelligent that was happening on that team. They lose to Palace at home, which now obviously losing at Palace
ain't that
if
bad.
Palace played this way at the start of the season, they'd be pushing for Champions League. Jesus Christ. 100%. I don't understand what the hell's gotten into them the last month, but they're playing spoiler.
Well, they hired that new manager. They got that new manager in who's changed everything. So.
Yeah, the German guy from Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's absolutely. So present, I just want to, like, your take on how you see this going down. I mean, cuz this is an interesting discussion. Where do we call Premier League bullcrap in the grand scheme of this? So you're saying this is rigged and or fixed and or being pushed in a certain direction if we have three teams involved in the title race the last season? The last week of the season,
dude. If we see Fulham win and we see United beat Arsenal, then they're setting up that Monday match versus Aston Villa to be versus Liverpool and Aston Villa to be a must see, absolute watch. You're talking about ton of eyeballs on there. Then, if that happens and Liverpool do win, then you're talking about the end being absolutely just, I mean, who wouldn't have their eyeballs on that? Think about the TV ratings for that, man. It would be absolutely insane. It was like that one weekend, remember, where Liverpool had to win to qualify for Champions League and Alisson got the header and this and that. Like, that was another weekend where all eyeballs were on that.
I think that was against West Brom.
Yeah, it was West Brom. Alisson came down, got the header.
Yeah.
Well, if City, I know it might not happen, and I'm not saying it is, but you never know. Fulham at home, Arsenal's playing United. Maybe United wake up for this one match. Like, you don't know. If that happens, it's going to be absolute must watch TV Monday with Liverpool and Aston Villa. Liverpool win there, then you have this three-headed dragon on TV. It'll have every single eyeball on that. I think every match on is at 11 o'clock, too. They make sure they're all played at the same time. They had to change that because I remember back in the day, people would lay down or whatnot, and it was funny because teams would fuck other teams up on purpose, which is hilarious. But, yeah, they got them all at the same time now. So that can't happen. And it's going to be must-watch TV, dude. Hell, we'll be watching.
We will be, but I do firmly believe we're only going to be watching two teams.
I think so, man. I really do. It would be mind-blowing. Dude, if we wake up Monday or go to bed Sunday knowing that Arsenal and City blew it and lost, it will be an absolute frenzy for that match on Monday. Liverpool will be in a must win, and if they did, holy shit.
So the way that it stands right now is that Liverpool are 4 points back of City. City have a game in hand. Arsenal are level with Liverpool in matches played. They have a 5-point advantage. So City, let's say City lose to Fulham, that gives all of them 36 matches, okay?
Yeah.
So then City have to lose. They have to lose three in a row, and Liverpool have to win out to win.
Okay.
That's so, I mean, yes, Liverpool are mathematically still alive, but
if they win tomorrow, they're out.
Yeah, if they lose tomorrow, 82-78 still, then if they lose again and Liverpool beats Aston Villa, it's 82-81.
Okay.
And then 82-81. Oh, well, I guess City could draw. Yeah, City could draw the last match, go to 83, and Liverpool win the last match and win it with 84 points.
Okay, so two wins.
After a while, Arsenal has to also keep losing.
Yes, yeah, I mean, it's not.
So basically, Arsenal has to lose out because they hold a massive goal differential advantage over Liverpool. Arsenal have to lose out. City has to lose two and draw one, and Liverpool has to win out. Now, I don't see that happening. I just don't. No. I think it's City and Arsenal, and
that is crazy.
I do think it might get a little edgy for Man City because, I don't deem this to be the easiest path. I think that there's at least by name and by standing in the table, they're playing the ninth club, the number nine. They're playing number 13. And they're playing number five. Now, here's the thing. Number 13 have lost only one in their last four. So Fulham have lost one match in their last four. West Ham have lost three of their last four. And Spurs do you even one better than that. They've lost four in a row.
Yeah, God.
So based on table standing, City are not going to get the easiest slight. But based on recent performances, this should be... The toughest one actually is Fulham based on the last month of the season.
Yeah. And that's the first one. So
yeah, because Fulham have a -4 goal differential and West Ham is -14. And I should say West Ham had a really good start to the season. They're ahead of Fulham by 5 points. But yeah, losers, three of their last four, they have not won. It's been five games since they've won.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a really
slide.
It's a really tough road, man, for West Ham right now. But it's even tougher road for Tottenham.
Yeah, Moyes is out, so he's done. So
yeah, but Spurs, if you look at what they've it's not just that they are losing, it's how they've lost. And the last win they had was against Nottingham Forest on April 7th. That was 3-1. Then they get absolutely destroyed by Newcastle, 4-0. Then they're down 3-0 to Arsenal. They make it a game, losing 3-2. Then they get shut out by Chelsea, 2-0. And then last week, they're down 4-0 to Liverpool before they get two back at the end, but they never threatened to win.
No.
So they got smoked last week. They've just been, yeah. So in the last four matches, they've given up 4, 3, 2, and 4.
God, man.
Not a good look.
Falling apart. Yeah.
Yeah, falling apart. So they have Burnley tomorrow, which is, I mean, if you can't get right against Burnley, then I don't know what's what. But Burnley are still, they're almost relegated, but they're not clinched yet. So Burnley have to come out and play against Spurs. They have nothing.
Oh yeah,
they have to come out and play. They have to go forward. They just can't. They can't sit here and just lay back and play for a draw. They have to win. They have to win out, and they have to hope that Forest and Luton do some work for them. But so yeah, so Burnley and that's it, man. Then it's Man City, and then they have to play. They play Sheffield, and then, yeah, that's it for Spurs. That's going to be the end of the story for them. So, I just I don't know what we're gonna. This is City definitely should win all three of these, but you know, stranger things have happened in football, as they say.
Oh my God, yeah, especially when you're trying to get them eyeballs, man. You know, we've seen crazier things, bro. So it's just something I brought up because
you know, you never can put anything past these leagues, man. So that's something we'll definitely have to keep our eyes on for sure.
Yeah, the flip side of that is that Man United play Arsenal this week, and then next weekend to close out the season, they play Everton.
Oh, wow.
Everton has nothing to play for.
Nope.
They're safe. They're not going to go play in Europe. They're,
hell, so neither does United, right? United don't have anything. I mean, they're trying to get a Conference League spot.
Yes, they are trying to get Conference League. The sixth place team in England get Conference League. And right now, with a whopping plus 19 goal differential, Newcastle has that over Man United. But they both played 35 matches, and United are trailing by 2 points. United also trailed Chelsea by two. They're equal with Chelsea on points, but Chelsea have a plus 14 goal differential over United. And I said plus 19 for Newcastle. I'm sorry, plus 25. Newcastle have a plus 25. So United's going to have to beat Chelsea and Newcastle based on points, because goal differential does nothing for them. They cannot tie them in points. So I don't think United's getting Europe at all. I think that I think they're going to be sitting home completely next season, which, the most Arsenal thing to do, as they say, there's a saying that what's the most Arsenal thing to do is to play a team that is complete dog shit right now, is full of players that are misfits and high price tags and busts and just a money dump, where you could have bought so many better players for far less money. There's no chemistry. There's no unity. There's no camaraderie. And yeah, they're going to, if they lose to United, as you predicted they could, to make things interesting, that would be the most Arsenal thing you could possibly do with 1 week to go in the season.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. That would totally flip some stuff around, man. That would be...
Well, that gives City the title. That's it at that point.
Oh yeah, So I, you know, we've been back and forth about the City thing with Wolves and Tottenham and this and that. You know, we say all this, but you know, we both know deep down inside, even if subconsciously, we want to say that City are probably going to win out and win the title. Just it would be an Arsenal thing to do for them to lose a match and hand it to them. You know what I'm saying? That would be something. Because if Arsenal went out and City went out, that just is terrible for Arsenal, because they did everything they possibly could. But you just know that they have it in them to lose a match that they should win, like United or something. And then they absolutely just hand it over to Pep. So, yeah, that would be a total Arsenal thing. It's funny when your team is actually a noun and a verb.
Yeah, it is. They are a noun and a verb.
Yeah.
This is kind of wrapping it up. We got 2 weeks to go in the Premier League season. There'll be some games, as I said, midweek to kind of catch some clubs up to get back to everyone to get on level 37 matches before they head into Championship Sunday.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, this is – City have – I mean, they've won five. I mean, they've won – this is – like, if you look at their last five, they've won far more than that. But five – they're, you know, green all the way through.
Yeah.
It's – you know, most of these matches are not closed. There's a sort of a Real Madrid factor that goes into this. When they get a one-point lead over you in the league or something like that, they just decide that they're not going to lose again. They lose matches in September. They lose matches in October. A month ago, I did say Liverpool are going to win the league. I'm not going to go back on that. I said it. I believed it. And then Liverpool had a complete lapse of any kind of comprehension for how you play football. And they bottled it. I mean, Liverpool had the league. They controlled their – that's all you can ask for, is to control your own destiny. Whereas if City wins out, it doesn't matter, because if we win out, they can't catch us.
Yeah.
Liverpool had that. Liverpool had – the goods on Arsenal and on City, and they were going to win the league if they won the rest of their matches. And then they didn't, and now they've opened the door. And once you open the door for Man City, if they smell blood, they absolutely crash through it, and you're done. So
yeah, you're finished.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, it's a sad thing, but it is what it is. England is becoming, despite the fact that this is an exciting finish, it's just becoming more and more boring. It's becoming like the Bundesliga and like Serie A was before Inter and Inter and company. I mean, you know, Napoli's made it interesting. Inter has won their second Scudetto in the last 4 years. AC Milan got one in there. So yeah, Juve hasn't won in 5 years now, and that's great. I think it's great for Italy. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You have
made it watchable.
Spain, yeah. I mean, flips between three teams. We already know that. And, you know, France is just, I mean, basically England's becoming France. I mean, England's becoming France.
I'm telling you, next season, I will say France might be a little interesting because PSG's
going to take it. Right. Yes. You have a point there, yeah.
We should hopefully have something to at least follow there. I mean, we followed France, I think, for a week on the show.
It was at least a month.
It was a little bit.
Month.
Yeah.
It wasn't a week. That's ridiculous. No, we gave them at least a month because Nice was holding strong, bro.
Yeah, they wouldn't lose. Yeah, and then finally it just crashed, and then we covered Lyon a little bit, and now they're in a freaking Europa League spot, Champions League.
Yeah, so no, they're not there yet. They were in a relegation spot basically around Christmas. I mean, they were in 16th or whatever. This is the second half of their season. They've won four of their last five. Green, green, red, green, green. They had like a negative something goal differential. Now it's only negative -8. They now have more wins than they do losses. First time this season, they have 14 wins, 13 losses. 32 matches played, 2 matches to go. They have 47 points. Nice has 51 with a game in hand. So if Lyon can win out and Nice and Lyon stumble, they could get into a Conference League spot.
Yeah.
And
completely.
Yeah, Europa League's out of that. Lille have that locked up. That's not gonna. But they could still. They are still in alive for Europe. Yes, Lyon. When they were facing relegation as recently as 2-3 months ago, this is an insane turnaround.
So we at least got that to cover. And next year will be PSG's demise. They'll be switching things up, and we'll get some changes.
Yeah, so the good news for Lyon is they play the worst team in the league this weekend, Clermont Foot.
Yeah.
And then they play Strasbourg the final match day, and they're 13th. So very winnable. They could end up with – Nick, they could end up with 53 points. That is insane.
I hope they – I would love to see them in Europe too. We'd love to see them back. Yeah.
Oh, and excuse me. They could qualify for Europa League because they're playing the French Cup final against PSG.
Oh, there you go.
If they win that, they are in Europa League.
Yeah, you're right.
So there's two ways. There's two paths for Lyon to get into Europe.
And they could, in theory, win that because they've been playing lights out, and PSG can shit the bed, as we've all seen.
Oh, yeah.
So I would totally not give that to them. Yeah.
Well, PSG have nothing to play for. Yep. It's a Europa League berth. They're going to Champions League next season.
Yeah.
The league is wrapped up. I mean, this is one of those, Lyon could easily win that just because PSG's asleep at the wheel. Absolutely.
Which I hope, yeah.
Lyon's back in Europe next year in the second biggest competition, and it's game on, man. I want to see them come back up, man. That was such a tragic story.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, broke my heart. I mean, really.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we were fortunate to have them turn it around for sure.
But they have definitely done that.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we turn the lights out?
No, man, we did it. No, man, the biggest things we needed to touch on, we all hit, man. From Mbappe to Real Madrid to the English league finishing up, like that's really our main points here, man. And we got it. Yeah. We did it.
Well, that's going to do it for this week on The Basement. I want to thank all of you again for listening, subscribing, liking, whatever, retweeting. We appreciate all of you, love all of you, and we will talk to you again next week. It'll be championship week and championship Sunday in England. We hope, Nick and I hope, that we have some drama to talk to y'all about. I think it's, at least with Arsenal and City we will, but we hope we have a lot more to talk about than just that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Love you guys. Thank you very much.
Talk to y'all later.
See ya. Lifting as we lose our inhibition, celebration.
Around us, every nation, all around us,
sing forever young, singing songs underneath the sun. Let's rejoice in the beautiful game, and together at the end of the day, we all say,
when I get older, I will be stronger, they'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag.